And have the preschool teacher look at one of her pupils who was energetically wielding crayons. "What are you doing?" she asked. And heard her student reply, "I'm drawing a picture of God." "You can't do that," she said. "No one knows what God looks like." Her student looked up at her and said, "Give me 5 more minutes and I'll show you what God looks like." This is an old joke, but a favorite of mine, simply because I'd love to have the confidence that little girl had about knowing God. Although I do find myself thinking about the verse from 1 Corinthians, which tells us anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. And I certainly don't have any good answer about how to describe the Trinity. The Holy Trinity is one of the oldest and most basic doctrines of our Christian faith. As our gospel attests, we are to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We often start Mass, as we did this evening, with the greeting, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And that invitation comes directly from the closing word of St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, written well before the Gospels. Having said that, the Holy Trinity is the very mystery of God, and all human attempts to define or explain the Trinity are doomed, if not to failure, then at least to radical insufficiency. Through the centuries, theologians have twisted themselves into pretzels, talking about co-eternal, consubstantial persons, processions, progressions, and the like. Happily, however, we don't have to understand the mystery of the Trinity to experience God as Trinity. The first Christians came to understand the Trinity not as an arid theological puzzle, but as a necessary conclusion drawn from the sense of their being grasped by and held within God's communion of love. And our readings today tell us about God's love. The first reading from Deuteronomy shows us Moses before revealing the Ten Commandments, reminding his people of their experience of God and of the extraordinary privilege they enjoy as a people chosen, rescued, singled out, spoken to, and loved by God. God revealed God's self through powerful deeds for the benefit of the people, and they are called to respond in obedience, surrender, and faithfulness. God's self-revelation reaches its apex in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And our second reading from the letter to the Romans tells us that we're not only loved by God, through Jesus Christ, we are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Jesus called his Father Abba, Dad, Pops, and impelled by the gift of the Holy Spirit, so do we. How amazing is it that we can be so familiar and easy with the God who creates us? Our gospel, taken from the end of Matthew's Gospel, has what is perhaps the most explicitly Trinitarian note in the entire New Testament, the command to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our risen Lord, having completed his mission on earth, claims all authority in heaven and on earth, and empowered with that same authority, we are going to go to all the nations and make disciples of them, sharing with them God's love for them, represented by the mission of Jesus Christ. On this good earth, we will never be able to draw God accurately or adequately explain what we mean when we say we believe in one God in three persons.